west at 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy and cold, the low 7. The wind will continue to blow from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 20 and a northwest wind at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low of 10 and a west wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny, the high 25. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low of 15. Thursday, mostly cloudy and warmer, the high 35. The outlook for Thursday night, mostly cloudy with scattered snow flurries and a low of 28. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the teens to the upper 20s. At Chicago at O'Hare Airport, 17 degrees. It was 15 at Bloomington Normal, 13 at Danville. In Effingham, 24. Carbondale reported 27 degrees. In South Bend, 25 degrees at the top of the hour. There they reported light snow and freezing fog. At Lafayette and Indianapolis, 14 degrees. Terre Haute checked in with 17, and in Evansville, it was 23. At noon Central Time, Willard Airport reported 16 degrees, the dew point 9, the wind out of the northwest at 18 miles per hour, the relative humidity 74%, the barometric pressure 30.31 and falling, and the wind chill, it was zero. At 12:39, it's 17 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois under mostly sunny skies. A Mexican city that's become famous for violence in recent years is trying to recapture some of its tourist business. Tijuana sits right on the border with California. It attracted many U.S. visitors in years past. Then came a drug war and an increase in murders in many parts of Mexico. Now one part of Tijuana is being revived as a trendy new destination for young people. Here's NPR's JCN Bobian.
On Calle Sexta in Tijuana right now, the city's past and present literally intersect. Calle Sexta, or 6th Street, crosses Avenida Revolucion. On 6th Street, new bars and restaurants are opening. On Revolucion, decrepit nightclubs sit shuttered behind metal gates. Revolucion used to be Tijuana's tourist strip. Californians would come to party, have their picture taken with a zebra, and maybe visit some of the brothels. But the gruesome drug violence that peaked in Tijuana in 2008 scared most visitors away. 6th Street, on the other hand, caters to locals. 28-year-old Gustavo Morales is standing in a storefront that he and three friends are converting into a bar. He says when La Chupiteria opens later this month, it will be bright and clean with hip indie music. We want to make sure women have a good time, Morales says, adding that women make or break a party. We're trying to give the people something extra. Yeah, there was a lot of crime and violence, but now we're committed to making things better here. This space used to be a pharmacy. Now a modern bar is being built in the center of the room. The back wall is textured with protruding angular white slabs. It looks like a cubist rendition of an Arctic ice field. Morales says the drug violence robbed Tijuana of its dignity. Everyone was afraid to go out. But now we are rebuilding, he says. It's like a tornado of violence destroyed a lot of things. But enough of that. Now we are trying to start again. Tijuana is one place where President Calderon's drug war has taken down the top leaders of the local cartel. Some people say this weakening of the brutal Arellano Félix crime group has led to fewer beheadings and public shootouts. Morales says things feel safer now, and this has allowed creativity to flourish. Just a few doors down from La Chupiteria, a stark minimalist hair salon recently opened. On the corner with Revolucion, there's now the Pop Diner. Think Andy Warhol does a makeover of a 50s burger joint. Along 6th Street, each new establishment tends to stick primarily to a theme. One bar serves only mezcal. A dance club features a musical style called Nortec, a mixture of accordion-heavy norteño music and European techno. At La Katrina, they specialize in pulque, a milky, viscous, alcoholic drink that's popular in seedy bars, particularly in southern Mexico.
Aquí La Katrina es la primera pulquería en Baja California.
Gerardo Valenzuela Reyes opened this pulquería on 6th Street just less than a year ago. The drink he serves dates back to the Aztecs, but his decor is all about modern Mexican wrestling. Valenzuela says Tijuana is improving every day. Security, at least here in the center of the city, is better than it was 2 or 3 years ago. On weekends, 6th Street is jammed with bar hoppers. But Valenzuela says people from the U.S. still haven't come back.
Nosotros no nos mantenemos del turismo.
We don't support ourselves from tourism, Valenzuela says. It's the local people. You've got young kids who are just waiting until they turn 18 so they can get into the bars on 6th Street. We are building a local culture here. He loves Tijuana, but he says the city needs a makeover. Buildings need to be remodeled. Things need to be cleaned up. But that's what they're trying to do right now on 6th Street. Jason Beaubien, NPR News.
A very visible, influential Western Illinois resident passed away last week. Hundreds of people traveled across the state and in some cases across the country to pay their respects to late State Representative Rich Myers. Alex Degman reports from Macomb.
The grand ballroom inside the Western Illinois University Union was filled with friends and family from coast to coast. Democrat and Republican state lawmakers from Carbondale to Chicago made the trip to honor someone they say was one of a kind and will be sorely missed. One such person was House Minority Leader Tom Cross of Oswego. Cross said Myers was never one to play politics. He just wanted to get his work done.
I think as we've watched this country and the state over the last few years where there's been a deterioration, Rich, that never was something Rich caught on to. He always said to us, you know, we have caucuses once a week where all the Republicans get together. What are we doing to get something done? What are we doing to help my region or the whole state or Western Illinois University?
Myers' bipartisanship is not the only thing lawmakers say they'll miss. Republican State Representative Jill Tracy of the 93rd District said she'll miss his calm, collected approach to tough issues.
He did indeed have an impact and respect in the House to get them to listen.
Tracy recalled the last day of this past spring session when she offered a resolution to designate the Chicago to Kansas City Expressway, which passes through the heart of the 93rd and 94th districts. Tracy remembered how nervous she was that the resolution would not be approved. But then in stepped Representative Myers.
We'd been so contentious that day on the House debate, and it was the last day of session, the last moment, and people were just not in a good mood. And Rich brought it back around for our region and assisted me to get that resolution passed. And I think that's just an example of how his steady hand was in guidance for me, and then his steady guidance for all of the region.
Republicans and Democrats who spoke during the service highlighted not only Myers' public service record, but also the personal friendships they shared. State Senator Bill Brady, for example, shared with the crowd his time as Myers' roommate in Springfield. The two fiscal conservatives shared a double-occupancy motel room for many of the 16 years Myers served in Springfield. Brady said Myers was like a big brother to him, often sharing concerns and joys one would share with a big brother. Brady said he grew accustomed to and looked forward to coffee every morning where they would discuss the challenges of the day. Brady said he enjoyed the camaraderie he shared with Myers, in part because he did not want to go home to an empty room after a long day of session. He said he was devastated to learn that scenario would soon become a reality. Democratic State Senator John Sullivan also spoke. He talked about a joint news release he and Myers issued several years ago. He remembered how many constituents approached them both, not because of the announced legislation, but because they worked together in a bipartisan manner. Sullivan said voters appreciated the efforts and wished they saw more of it. House Minority Leader Tom Cross agreed and said he hopes whoever is chosen to replace Myers exhibits those same characteristics.
You know, that's a sign of a real, I think, insightful person to realize the diversity of the state, the diversity that exists means you're not always going to get everything you want and that you're willing to be open to different approaches. And he always was that way. So someone that's watched him and understands that, I think, can be and will be an effective legislator.
The service lasted for nearly an hour and a half. As darkness approached, family and friends loaded into their cars for the funeral procession to Mount Auburn Cemetery in Meyer's hometown of Colchester. There, they laid to rest a father, a son, a brother, a husband, a farmer, and someone who many said was a tireless advocate for Western Illinois. I'm Alex Stegman.
It's 12:47. If you want a little quiet in your life, you might consider moving to the northern Great Plains. You can wake up to mooing cows or a passing Chevy pickup. That is, unless you live near South Dakota's Ellsworth Air Base. The military is proposing a huge expansion of the bomber's training area, and the plans have some rural residents launching a counterattack. Here's South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Charles Michael Ray.
It's a wintry afternoon on the Dakota Plains, and the prairie wind is packing a cold bite. But this hasn't stopped the Reinhold family from going out to bring home the cattle. The Reinholds loaded four of their children into the back of an SUV, and they're driving across the prairie, tossing out pellets of cattle feed as they go. Larry Reinhold's family has owned this ranch for more than a century.
There aren't many places like western South Dakota, and this is kind of the last frontier.
Reinhold worries about plans to expand the B-1 bomber training range fourfold. It would mean warplanes streaking through these skies, flying as low as 500 feet, and sometimes breaking the sound barrier. The new range includes huge sections over Montana, Wyoming, and both Dakotas. Air Force Colonel Jeff Tolliver says the expansion is vital for crews preparing for combat.
We have to do realistic training. We need airspace that fits today's needs, not 20 years ago needs. We need airspace that matches the combat environment.
Many of the ranchers here say they understand the need for training, but they complain the military flights could spook their cattle and lower their land's value. Marvin Kammerer stood up at a recent public meeting on this issue and shook his rough, callous fist as he spoke.
You wouldn't want to buy a house and live right next to a railroad track. That would be rather stupid if you wanted peace and quiet. And we treasure that.
Ranchers point to more than 24 court cases where landowners have been compensated for excess aircraft noise. Camera says at the very least, ranchers here should get consideration.
If you want the overflight and the use of this land, then have the good grace to pay us like you do everybody else.
This economic issue stretches beyond ranches. Ray Gillick manages the airport for the town of Spearfish, South Dakota. The flights out of this small airstrip would be cut in half to make way for military training. Gillick says the airport is in the middle of a $15 million expansion project.
And all of a sudden, essentially, they're going to say, well, you've made the investment, that's great, but we're only going to let you use it part of the time now.
The Air Force says there are no plans to pay anyone here for losses. However, military officials stress they will do all they can to address concerns. But ranchers like Robert Heidgerkin say the opinions of those who are scattered across this rural part of the country are being ignored.
We don't deserve to be treated this way. We're American citizens. We provide a service to the country. We